The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Bob Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. Samantha, did you have field day when you were in school?
I did, and I hated it.
Did your school give you the option where you could sit out and
No.
be like in that dark room and watch Schoolhouse Rock?
No.
You had to compete. Did you get like medals or trophies or anything?
I think so. It was weird too, because the way they did the field days with the competitions, they had the gym teachers just pick and choose what you would do instead of you volunteering. I had a really good day where I was playing with frisbees. And apparently I actually hit it on target. So they chose me to do that, the whole like almost like the ultimate level. And I sucked during competition. Like it just went everywhere. But and I really didn't want to do it. But because I had one good day, the coaches made me do it.
Oh, well, to anyone who doesn't know, I'm not entirely sure how common a thing this is. But in the U.S., I feel like it's pretty common. But it's like this day. And for me, it was elementary school and maybe middle school as well. Where you would like have an entire day where you would just almost kind of an Olympic style, where there'd be running events and there'd be, for me, water balloon events. I liked those, tug of war, like all kinds of things. And you'd be on a team. And in my school, we would make shirts every year and you would get like trophies or medals at the end. And it's funny because I was a very insecure, stressed out kid, but I was also extremely competitive. So it would be a day where I would feel miserable. But then in the end, I usually won. And then I loved it. But until that, I hated it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
so maybe that was the difference. I didn't win. So I was just miserable throughout because I was hot, sweaty. They made us stay outside. There were so many bugs. LJ, Georgia, and you know, in the mountains, in the woods. And I would just get eaten up. And I hated it.
Yeah, I did. Seventh grade, which is probably my least favorite school year I ever had. I skipped it. I didn't do it. Because we did have an option where you could sit in a room and watch Schoolhouse Rock.
I wish we had that option.
Yeah, and I mean, I had friends where it was just this huge stressor. Because you were performing these athletic things, and especially for young girls, and like all this attention to your body, maybe that you don't want, that it was just this miserable experience. And we would try to find any way to get out of it. And it's supposed to be fun. But I do still have the medals.
Of course you do.
Person.
Of course you do.
Bring them and show them off. So yes, as we are recording this, I've been thinking about this because one of my field day shirts that I still have is from 1996, and the Olympics were in Atlanta, and we did the Olympic rings, and it says my name on the back, and I can't get rid of that shirt because I really like it. It still fits. But yes, the Olympics are happening, supposedly. I mean, if we're recording this in early July, so something could have happened. But and so we wanted to bring back this classic episode because we're working on an episode about women in the Olympics. And it probably won't surprise most of you, but it might surprise some of you that women can't compete in all of the events. And even as recently as 2012, that was when women's boxing first debuted. So this is still like happening. And of course, there's been a long history with the Olympics of keeping women not only out of them altogether, but like slowly, okay, you can do this event. Okay, you can do this event. So we want to bring back this classic episode and we hope that you enjoy.
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Kristen.
So back in 2009, Kristen, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, made the decision to add women's boxing to this year's London Summer Olympic Games. And before this, it had been the only sport reserved for men. So now we're all equal. Yay. Story over.
Kind of.
Well, okay. Yeah, not really. There actually is a debate raging currently about women's boxing. And basically, should women engage in a sport whose main purpose is to inflict damage on the opponent and that we might even possibly knock them unconscious?
That does not sound very ladylike, Caroline.
It sure doesn't. We might sweat.
How? What?
I know.
No.
It shouldn't be allowed.
Well, one note, though, one historical note. Women have boxed at the Olympics before, one other time, at the 1904 St. Louis Games, which was the first time that the men's boxing debuted at the Olympics. But women's boxing was relegated to a display event.
Well, they were actually both display events, but after the display event, they were like, hey, men, come on.
Yeah, you guys
and the
are
women,
cool.
The women just keep being the little sideshow act that you are.
Could you go make us some sandwiches?
Exactly. But it actually, it has so much more history beyond 1904. Back in the 1720s, the first staged women's prize fights took place. This was in England. And in addition to punching and kicking, women could maul and scratch their opponents.
Ooh.
So it was more like just like a cat fight in the ring instead of true boxing.
And then female prize fighting happened in 18th and 19th century European fairgrounds and in exhibition halls. But then in the 19th century also, people started clamping down on the sport. They were very uncomfortable with seeing two women in the ring. And for that reason, it was prohibited in many U.S. states and in Europe. And it was officially banned in Britain, for instance, in 1880. But that didn't hold back Barbara Buttrick, a Yorkshire-born fighter, who was one of those early renegades.
And let's not forget, in 1876, Nell Saunders and Rose Harland got in the ring and duked it out over a silver butter dish, because, you know, what do women need with a cup or a medal, in what is considered the first women's match in the U.S. So they probably maybe inspired Ms. Buttrick.
Yeah, because then in the late 50s, in 1957 to be precise, Barbara became the first female boxing license holder. And she was in Dallas, Texas, and she fought the second female boxing license holder, Phyllis Kugler, for the first women's world championship.
And I think it's worth pointing out that Barbara was just 98 pounds and 4'11".
Whew.
She was a little spitfire.
Tiny.
Yeah.
So then fast forward to 1993, and women's amateur boxing is finally integrated into the rules of the U.S. amateur boxing program. And then 1996 is a pretty huge year for women's boxing because of a bout between Christy Martin and Deirdre Gogarty. And Christy Martin won, and she became the face of women's boxing and actually made it onto the cover of Sports Illustrated, thus marking the birth of modern professional women's boxing in the U.S. But the funny thing is, if you go back and read that Sports Illustrated story interviewing Martin, she could not give a hoot about women's boxing. She liked boxing,
But women, no, no, no. She says, I'm not out to make a statement about women in boxing or even women in sports. I'm not trying to put women in the forefront. And I don't even think this fascination with women in the ring has much to do with that. This is about Christy Martin.
Oh, well.
I mean, yeah. Quite a fighting spirit there. But the whole profile of her just hammers home this thing of, oh yeah, she's a boxer. So in that way, in the ring, she's, you know, knocking out all these stereotypes. But at home, she's married to her coach and she really likes to cook him dinner. For instance, they include this quote from her saying, if my house is on fire, I want Mike Tyson carrying me out, not Christy Martin.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Huh. So...
Well,
so a big first for professional women's boxing, but Christy Martin could care less. And then in 1999, we have the first European Cup for women's boxing, and the first World Championship for women is held not too long ago, just in 2001.
Yeah, and speaking of 1999, there was this New York Times article talking about how the trend in women's boxing wasn't so much that all these women were coming out of the woodwork to compete and go pro. It's that they were all coming to gyms to get in shape.
Right.
But through this whole exercise trend, actually a lot of the women who went in to exercise came out champions.
Mm-hmm. And that in that same New York Times article, they interviewed one of the coaches who pointed out some gender differences among some boxers. He told the Times that women are easier to train than men because they are more relaxed and not as macho. But then he goes on to point out how women boxers do have more fragile psyches. Quote, you can't scream at them like you would with a man, even though sometimes I really want to.
Oh, those troublemaking women. One of the women who went into a gym, this was, I believe, in New York, Long Island, maybe, was Kathy Collins, who is originally from Georgia. She dropped 101 pounds in the course of her very strict exercise regimen and then turned pro. She won the first women's pro boxing match ever held in Madison Square Garden, and her fights have been on pay-per-view and ESPN and USA networks. And she loves the sport, and she said that it really gives you a sense of strength and a greater sense of self.
But here's the latest controversy that has come up, because we'll get back to the Olympic stuff in a second. But November 2011, we've been slowly but surely making these strides, getting more women in the ring, toughening up, going into those all male gyms, not giving a hoot.
No hoots given.
And then in November of last year, the Amateur International Boxing Association has this brilliant idea that female boxers should put on skirts.
Because why not? They're women, right? They should be wearing skirts. Maybe they should be barefoot in the ring, too.
Well, their argument was, how else are you going to be able to tell if you flip on a boxing match? How else can you tell if it's a woman up there?
But a question that I had when I said it out loud when I read this, and actually a bunch of people commenting on the articles about this topic said the same thing. Why is it so important to distinguish female boxers from male boxers when you're watching it on TV, or whether, you know, even if you're a spectator in the arena? Is it not just about the boxing? And so all these issues come up about discomfort with the lack of gender division or obvious gender division, discomfort with women entering a traditionally male-dominated sport.
Following this announcement, the skirt fiasco, they held the European Championships in Rotterdam, and only two nations, Poland and Romania, decided to have their boxers wear the skirts in the ring. And the Polish coach told the BBC, "By wearing skirts, in my opinion, it gives a good impression, a womanly impression. Wearing shorts is not a good way for women boxers to dress."
So much ridiculous there in that statement.
Right. And then on the heels of all of these complaints, not only from female boxers who are like, what? I'm not going to wear a miniskirt. And also outrage from the public. The president of the Amateur International Boxing Association said, "After we hear about its comfort and how easy it is to compete in the uniform, it may be compulsory." So he's trying to argue that skirts are just an easy breezy kind of thing that you can just toss on and go, just hop into the ring. No need for shorts.
You sound like a makeup ad. An AIBA spokesman recently came out and said that, we never intended to make them mandatory, after the president had said that they could become compulsory depending on people's reactions to them. And on February 13th of this year, boxer Tyresha Douglas was quoted by Sports Illustrated as saying, "We're women. And women should be wearing a woman's uniform. I mean, women can wear shorts, but it's boxing. We need to look more feminine. Under the headgear, you don't know if it's a man or a woman if we don't have boobs. We're women, and we need to let people know we're women because you can't tell."
But not surprisingly, Tyresha was very much in the minority. There have not only been some amateur boxers who have headed up a change.org petition to get the Amateur International Boxing Association to abandon this skirt plan. Others have just spoken out in the press against it, because this decision has followed quickly on the heels of the trials for the Olympics. So there's been all of this focus on women's boxing lately, and the skirt issue keeps coming up. And so far, Tyresha Douglas is the only person I've heard who is really outright in favor.
I found, world champion fighter Mary Kom, she's from India. She compared female fighters to female competitors in sports like tennis, who mm-hmm. wear gender-specific uniforms. But, I mean, I think it's stupid in tennis.
Yeah.
Why should a female athlete have to wear a skirt? Why can't she just wear what is comfortable or what her coach wants her to wear, you know?
Right.
What does it matter?
It just seems with something like boxing, too, skirts just don't. It's clearly a thing to feminize these athletes, mm-hmm. and it's not that necessary. For instance, Jara Hodge over at Gender Focus put it very well when she said, "The attitude is clearly persisting today, this idea of a team of foxes, not oxes," which was a quote from the 1960 U.S. women's track coach. She says that it's clearly persisting today, as many female professional athletes report feeling pressured to act and look feminine outside of sport in order to compensate for their masculine strength. And what better segue then into the gender dynamics of boxing? Because according to some sports scholars, boxing is the ultimate egalitarian sport if you're a guy.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
Because once you get up in the ring, it doesn't matter your class, your race, well, your weight and size obviously will play a role. But once you're in the ring, all of that goes away and you have one opponent and one mission, and that is to take him down. But when you toss a woman in there, everything goes topsy-turvy.
Right. Some researchers went to an Australian boxing gym and talked to a bunch of people, but really focused on interviews with three men and three women at this gym. And this was a study in qualitative sociology from fall 2004 called Suffragettes in Satin Shorts, Gender and Competitive Boxing. And it was interesting. They pointed out that competitive boxing can be studied productively as a paradoxical gender regime that simultaneously enables and constrains how women, quote unquote, do gender.
Mm-hmm. There was one scholar that they quoted as saying, raw aggression is thought to be the province of men, as nurturing is the peculiar province of women. The female boxer violates the stereotype and cannot be taken seriously. She is parody, she is cartoon, she is monstrous.
Yeah, one guy the researcher talked to said, boxing isn't a female sport. Women are feminine. It's in the society. It's probably not right. They've got breasts that are going to get whacked.
Although they have done research on whether or not female boxing endangers our breasts, specifically whether or not it could cause breast cancer down the road. No risk. Your breasts are safe.
Yeah, boxing is pretty, it's a pretty safe sport.
But the very fact that safety issue is one of the first things that people bring up when they talk about women's boxing, as opposed to men's boxing, which we have, you know, just accepted as, yes, a little bit more violent and aggressive sport, but it's not something that is on the forefront of our minds, it seems like. And that's one of the reasons why this gender issue with boxing is really fascinating, because people are so uncomfortable with the idea of women punching at each other.
Right. And some of the guys in the gym that these researchers went to were just, they were totally uncomfortable with women who came into the gym on a regular basis. It's one thing if maybe you bring your steady girlfriend or your wife in there, somebody who's not going to try to distract you with her feminine wiles. But yeah, for the most part, women in these boxing gyms were considered to be distracting or weakening to men.
Well, and I think that this is one of the reasons why this Olympic women's boxing landmark is such a good thing, not just because it's opening up that final sport to women, but because a lot of the coverage that I've seen of the boxing trials, which are now over, has been really positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really painting these women as athletes as really strong and diverse and compelling, not terrifying and monstrous and parodies of mm-hmm. themselves.
Yeah, exactly. They're just strong athletes. Well, with that said, should we look at who the winners of the boxing trials are?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Starting off with Marlon Esparza. She's the flyweight. She actually had to gain 6 pounds to fit her small frame into the really strict weight classes that the Olympic Committee approved. So they only approved three weight class divisions for 112 pounds, 132, and 165, which has actually caused a lot of concern about women either gaining too much, losing too much, or dropping out. Esparza, like I said, gained 6 pounds, and she postponed college because she had her sights set on the Olympics. And coincidentally, her last bout happened to be against Tyresha Douglas, who we mentioned earlier.
Who was pro skirts.
Pro skirt. Hmm. Just throwing it out. There.
Well, in the lightweight division, we have Queen Underwood, who was a favorite going into the trials. And then there's also Clarissa Shields, who is the middleweight. Caroline, Clarissa Shields is 16 years old. That's amazing.
Yeah, she's a high school junior from Flint, Michigan, who started boxing at the age of 11 to make her imprisoned father proud.
Yeah, there is a really touching NPR story about Shields and her boxing journey,
mm-hmm.
if you want to give it a listen. But the thing is, the journey does not stop for these three women. Even though they made it through the trials, they now have to go on to the World Championships in China, where they have to finish in the top 8 of their weight category in order to qualify for the full Olympic event in London. So, three women to pull for. And you pointed out that the IOC boiled it down to the three weight classes.
Mm-hmm.
For men's boxing, they've got 10.
Yeah.
10.
And Coach Christy Halbert said that about 3,000 women register as amateur boxers in the U.S. in 10 weight classes. And she said that keeps the sport safe and to make it fair to celebrate the diversity of the human body. And so the Amateur International Boxing Association is actually lobbying the IOC to get more women into the 2016 Olympics.
There's also one quote from Queen Underwood's coach, Bashir Abdullah, that I wanted to point out because it fits so nicely in with our conversation about gender and boxing. Because initially he was very uncomfortable with the idea of coaching a female boxer, which kind of reminds me of Clint Eastwood and Million Dollar Baby.
Mm-hmm.
and he said, I didn't want to see women in this sport, which was based on his religious beliefs, but he also wanted to keep his job as a boxing coach with the U.S. Army. So he adapted when the Army's world-class athlete program accepted women, and he was very glad that he did. And he told NPR, there are great athletes in this women's sport. They are more focused, they're coachable, they're more determined, and they're more disciplined than male boxers.
Right, which echoes what trainer Tom Malloy said that you mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
that women are better at learning how to box, I guess.
Although Malloy did follow it up with how we might cry if you yell at us too hard.
We're fragile.
Mm-hmm.
We're fragile, fragile people. Well, somebody else talking about Queen Underwood, that I like this quote, U.S. boxing coach Joe Zanders was talking about her and said, Queen can hurt you. Queen is a killer. She has a nice doll-like smile, but you can't take that seriously because she has some dog in her and she will get after you.
It's great. Embodying, both ends of those, that gender dichotomy that everybody harps on so often,
mm-hmm.
Queen Underwood, man, she's knocking them out. And speaking of knockouts, mm-hmm. we have talked about, the violence associated with boxing, but the IABA, the same association that wants to put these women in skirts, according to 15 years of data, they have shown that women's Olympic-style boxing is safer than men's. And compared to other sports, women's boxing is incredibly safe.
Yeah, and it has a very low rate of concussions and hand injuries and pretty much no rate at all of lower extremity injury.
And not to mention that the female athlete has a more flexible neck, less shoulder and neck musculature, and less upper body strength than the male athlete, which means she might not pack as hard of a punch, but she might take one a little bit better than the dudes. And just to hammer home the point of the safety of women's boxing, according to a study from Australia, it is much safer than pony riding, polo, touch football, even cricket and soccer.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
But that study by the AIBA actually pointed out that, and what we already know this, that boxing is an excellent workout. That's why all those people are going to boxing gyms to try to get fit. For the average 140-pound woman, it burns nearly 800 calories per hour compared with riding a stationary bike at 650 calories per hour and jogging at 900. But women are protected. They wear a leather groin protector. They wear hard plastic cups inserted into a sports bra. And they wear, depending on the weight, they either wear 8-ounce gloves for women up to 140 pounds or 10-ounce gloves for the heavier women. And of course, amateurs wear headgear too. So they're in a safe sport, they're getting fit, and they're protecting themselves at the same time.
But the one big restriction, women out there who are thinking about boxing, if you are pregnant, you are not allowed to box. Although there was a pregnant curler in the last Olympics. But I guess, you know, curling is a pretty low intensity sport.
Yeah, low contact sport. Yes.
But I remember seeing it was like a big splashy headline, like pregnant Olympian. Oh, she was curling. Nothing against curlers out there.
Or pregnant women or pregnant curlers.
Right.
We like all of these people.
But pregnant boxers, no, that is just a risk that should not be taken.
Right.
So yeah, three awesome athletes to keep an ear out for as the Olympic trials continue to China for those world championships. Really hope that they will place so that we can see them in London this summer.
So let's hear from any of our listeners who do box. Male or female, but you know, mostly female. I want to hear if you got involved in the sport because you want to fight or if you want to get in shape.
Or if it was intimidating walking into that boxing gym.
Right. Did you have to deal with a lot of angry stares from men who you were clearly distracting?
Did you have a Clint Eastwood-like coach to help you along the way?
Yeah, someone surly who came to love you.
Let us know all of these things. MomStuff@discovery.com is the email address. And I have a letter here from Justina in response to our episode about gendered toys and those pink Legos that are causing such a kerfuffle. She writes, I have no problem with petitions and putting pressure on companies to not overdo the gender thing, but I believe the key to successfully mixing it up with toys is parenting and what you model at home. My husband and I have one daughter and one son, and when they were little, we had toys from all over the gender spectrum for them to play with. But it's not enough to simply place your kid in a room full of toys. You, as the parent, need to spend some time playing with him or her. And if your little girl is building a Lego house with her mom, she is learning that women can build. And even better, our kids saw and still see mom repairing electronics, doing computer setup for the home network, and also cooking and doing embroidery. Their dad also cooks and cleans and is the go-to math and physics tutor. Mom takes care of chemistry, social studies, and English essay critiques. So thank you, Justina.
And I have a correction here from Julie, and this is actually a correction we've received from several people on our Facebook wall, so it's good to point this out. She says that I listened to the Tattoo podcast recently and realized that you said in the Bible, Rebecca was married to Abraham. In fact, she was his daughter-in-law married to his son, Isaac. So thank you. I'm glad we could finally lay that to rest.
Yes. So if you have any boxing stories, random thoughts, corrections, anything at all you'd like to send our way, you can get in touch with us myriad ways. MomStuff@discovery.com is our email address. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at MomStuffPodcast. And you can see what we're doing during the week on our home website, HowStuffWorks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.